Hare Krishna.
Hare.
So, all the teams are in place. One day we did not have our regular interactive group discussion, but it seems that for so many days we didn't have it. Only yesterday we didn't have it. So today, which chapter are we going to do?
12.
Okay. You all are ready for that? So 12th chapter is the chapter entitled as Devotional Service. So isn't it wonderful? So devotional service now is culminating into this particular chapter. Arjuna Ubacha Evam Satata Yukta Je Bhaktastang Parjupasate Je Chapyaksharam Abhyaktang Teshanke Yoga Vittama. Arjuna inquired, which are considered to be more perfect, those who are always properly engaged in your devotional service, or those who worship the impersonal Brahman, the unmanifested? What a question. If Arjuna asked the question to Prabhupada. Anyway, let's see how Krishna is dealing with that question. Krishna is being mild. Because after all, you know, how much can he blow his own trumpet? Maya Vishya Manojimang Nitta Yukta Yupasate Shraddhaya Paraya Petaste Me Yukta Tamamata Te Mukta Te Yukta Tama Te Me Yukta Tamamata. The Supreme Personality of Godhead says, those who fix their minds on my personal form and are always engaged in worshipping me with great and transcendental faith are considered by me to be most perfect. Jetaksharam anirdesham abhyaktam parjupasate sarvatra gamachintam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam sanneyam mendriyagramam sarvatra samabuddhayah te prapnuvanti mameva sarvabhutai hite rata. But those who fully worship the unmanifested, that which lies beyond the perception of the senses, the all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed and immovable, the impersonal conception of the absolute truth, by controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone, such persons engaged in the welfare of all at last achieve me. Now there is actually one important consideration, at last achieve me. What is the meaning of that at last achieve me? That they become completely frustrated with that endeavor and then they give up and surrender to Krishna. Because by impersonal concept, one cannot actually reach the absolute. Impersonalism is not the ultimate goal. One has to come. Like, consider all the impersonalists. Those who are impersonalists at the beginning, the classic examples are the four Kumaras, Sukadeva Goswami. So what happened to them? Did they continue and then ultimately achieve the spiritual perfection?
No.
Or they transcended that platform and came to the platform of devotional service. So that is the meaning of the word, at last come to me. But look at the trouble that they have to go through. First of all, worshipping the unmanifested that which lies beyond the perception of the senses. Beyond the perception of the senses. You can't see, you can't feel, you can't touch. I mean, it's so difficult to worship something that is nothing, actually. And then that is all-pervading, inconceivable, unchanging, fixed, and immovable. The impersonal conception of the absolute truth. By controlling the various senses, the yogis try to control the senses. Is it easy? It's so difficult. And in order to control your senses, what do you have to do? The other day we discussed. The yogis, in order to control their mind, what they have to eventually do? They have to stop breathing. Give it a try and good luck. By controlling the various senses and being equally disposed to everyone. Equally disposed to everyone. Which means then that you have to become like a stone. No feeling at all. So this is how difficult it is. Such persons engage in the welfare, and then they become engaged in the welfare of all. And at last achieve me. So how do they at last achieve? Because by finally when they give up, realizing that this is not going to work, then they surrender unto Krishna. Then next verse is actually confirming that. Klesho adhikataras tesham abhyakta shakta chetasham abhyakta hi gatir dukkhaṁ deha vid deha vad bhiravapyate. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. Those who are embodied, for them it is difficult. If you are a stone, it would have been all right. But unfortunately, you are not a stone. I remember that those who used to take intoxication, they used to use that expression, to get stoned. Which means to become devoid of all senses. But when you have your senses active, then automatically you have your perception, you have your discrimination, and you have your natural tendency towards reciprocation.
Jetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananne naiva yogena mang dhayanta upasate teshamaham samuddhatta mrittu saṃsāra sāgarāt bhavāmi nā cirāt pārtha mayā veṣita cetasāṁ.
But those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service, and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So, isn't it wonderful? This is the advantage of surrendering. You surrender to Krishna and he will deliver you from the ocean of birth and death. Mrittu saṃsāra sāgarāt. It's a dangerous ocean of birth and death. Another way of looking at it is, you remember the other day we gave the example of Śrīla Prabhupāda pointing, asking the difference between a dog that has masters and the dogs that don't have masters. How do they look? Don't you immediately see a difference in them? Now, what kind of dog you want to be? Do you want to be a dog with a master or without a master? With a master. So those dogs that have a master, they don't have any worry. They don't have any anxiety. They don't have to look around where the food will come from. They don't have to worry so much about defending themselves. Because they're always afraid of being attacked by others. But when the dog with the master, if somebody attacks the dog, the master stands up and he defends the dog. So from that we can see, if we surrender to Krishna, then what will happen to us? Let somebody try to do something for us, to us. Krishna will stand up against them. And when Krishna stands up against you, boy, you better watch out.
Mayeva mana adhatsya mayi buddhi niveshaya neva shishyashi maiva ata urdhanna sansaya.
Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus, you will live in me always, without a doubt.
Atha chittam samadhatum na shaknosi maim sthiram abhyasa yogena tat mam icchaptum dhananjaya.
My dear Arjun, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me.
Abhyase api asamarthosi mat karma paramo bhava madartham api karmani kurvan siddhim abhapsasi.
If you cannot practice the regulations of Bhakti Yoga, then just try to work for me. Because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. So this is how Krishna is making things lighter and lighter for us. And what is the thing? Somewhere you start. Krishna's point is, if you can't start at this point, you start at this point. If you can't start at this point, start at this point. If you can't start at this point, start from this point. But start somewhere. And if you start, then what will happen? Then gradually, you will elevate, will climb.
Athaitad appashoktosi kartum mad yogam ashritaha sarva karma falatyagam tata guru jatatmavan.
If, however, you are unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work, and try to be self-situated. See, Krishna is making things so easy for us. Isn't it? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. What can be more simple than that?
Shreyahi jnanam abhyasaj Jnanam dhyanam visheshyate Dhyanat karma falatyagas Tyagat shantir anantaram.
If you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. Better than knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind.
Addeshta sarva bhutanang maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samo sukha sukham sami santushta satatang yogi yuktatma dridha nischayah mayarpita mano buddhir jo madbhakta same priyah.
One who is not envious but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor and is free from false ego, who is equal in both happiness and distress, who is tolerant, always satisfied, self-controlled,
and engaged in devotional service with determination, his mind and intelligence fixed on me, such a devotee of mine is very dear to me.
Jasmanno dijate loko, lokan no dijate chayaha, harshamarsho bhayodvegair, mukta yasachami priyaha.
He for whom no one is put into difficulty and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equipoised in happiness and distress, fear and anxiety, is very dear to me. Now the question is, when can one attain such a state? Free from happiness and distress, free from all dualities, fear and anxiety, only when one is properly surrendered to Krishna.
Anapeksha suchir daksha udashina gata vyathaha sarvarambha parityagi yo madbhakta same priyaha.
My devotee who is not dependent on the ordinary course of activities, who is pure, expert, without cares, free from all pains, and not striving for some result, is very dear to me.
Jo na rishyati na dveshti na sochati na kangshati subha subha parityagi bhakti manja same priyaha.
One who neither rejoices nor grieves, who neither laments nor desires, and who renounces both auspicious and inauspicious things, such a devotee is very dear to me.
Samo satro cha mitre cha tatha manapa manayo shitasna sukha dukkheshu sama sangveta virjita tulla ninda stutir mauni santushta jena kena chit aniketa sthiramatir bhakti manme priyo naraha.
One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residence, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me.
Jetu dharma mritam idam jathak tang parjupasate shraddhadhana mat parama bhaktaste tiva me priyaha.
Those who follow this imperishable path of devotional service and who completely engage themselves in faith, making me the supreme goal, are very, very dear to me. So thus ends the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sorry, 12th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So we'll get into the group discussion. The groups are in place. Okay, girls group 1, who all are there? Who all are still there? Raise your hands. Group 1. Okay, this group is quite steady. Group 2. Anyway, group 2. Achha, now, by the way, we have a few new participants. In the girl side, we have 3 new participants. They are Lilavati, Rupal, and Janavi. And in the men's side, there is Dwarkadish. So let us see group 3. No, group 3 is this group. Okay. So then, and group 2? Which one is group 2? Okay. Okay, so girls groups are all right. Okay, now let's see the boys group. Group 1. Which one is group 1? That is group 1. Okay. Group 2? There is no group 4. Oh, okay, fine. Okay, group 4 and group 5. Group 5. So Dwarkadish can go in group 5. And group 4, is how many of you are there? Okay. And group 6? Yeah, last group. It depends from which side you are looking at. Okay. Okay, so all the groups are in place. And the verses we'll give, there are how many verses? 20 verses. So, then we are left with two more. Let me...